your hands. I want to be your feet. I'll go where you send me.
9 minutes after the hour. Good morning. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. We are off to a great start today, and we have Stephen Mansfield with us on the program this morning. And as I'm reading his resume, oh my gosh, is it impressive. And he is an award-winning author and strategist and thinker. And Stephen, as I was reading your what you helped shape the 2004 presidential election, I'm thinking you were doing something really important in 2004. I think I was learning all the words to the Oscar Mayer Wiener song back then. So I'm trying to think, boy, you're doing some awesome stuff.
Well, I was learning the Oscar Mayer Wiener song behind the scenes. I just wasn't going to say it on Hannity, that's all.
Awesome. Okay, so I appreciate your work. I mean, your body of work is phenomenal. And as we're looking at this presidential race, and what part is religion going to play in all this? I mean, it's so fascinating that we try to learn what the candidates are believing and where they come from spiritually, and how do we process all this?
Well, religion's going to play a huge role in this election season, and largely because every single candidate except maybe Bernie Sanders are coming from a faith basis, a theology, a religious worldview of some kind, and both left and right. And even Bernie Sanders is very faith aware. You know, he made a beeline to Liberty University to make a speech and what have you. He knows he's got to play in that world. So I think every election in our recent history has had very strong faith undercurrents, but this one's probably going to be even more pronounced, even if it comes down to a final general election between Trump and Hillary. You're still going to have faith themes at play. Mm-hmm. So this is important, and that's why I wrote the book. I wanted to say to people, look, you may be like me. My southern grandmother used to say, look, don't talk about religion and politics in polite company. She was very southern. and that's what I spend all my time doing. But we have to blow past that and not batter people about their faith, but ask the question, as my title says.
Yes, and that is the title of your book, Ask the Question. You can get that on Amazon.com. When is that book released, or is it out?
The first week in February is its release.
Awesome. And I know I'll be anxious to get my hands on that myself. Okay, the media, both sides, left and right, they always seem to get religion wrong, don't they?
They do. And the majority of the press has seen religion as an oddity. You know, you've seen the surveys that huge portion of the media in America are secular, suspicious of faith. They've graduated from the journalism schools that, basically take the Auguste Comte perspective that religion's going to die out in the world. But, of course, the opposite is true. Mm-hmm. So not only has the media, both left and right, been unskilled, unlearned when it comes to religion, so they get a lot wrong, but they've had to shift from treating religion as an oddity, everybody who's conservative as a snake handler, religion as a strange part of a person's life, to the fact that even the candidates, the left-leaning media would prefer, like Hillary Clinton, come from some sort of faith basis that has to be understood. So they're getting a little bit better at it, but they're coming from a deep hole because for so many years, our journalism schools didn't teach them how to handle it well, and that's been obvious in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Hillary comes from a fairly committed spiritual position. We may not agree with her, but she's still pretty spiritual, isn't she?
She is, and this is one of the things I've had some difficulty getting my friends on the right, which of course is, largely where I am, certainly right of center, to understand, and that is that even if we don't agree with Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, others, the Kennedys, they do come from a religious or theological base of some kind. Hillary Clinton, I make the statement in the book, is one of the most faith-based politicians of our generation. Mm. Look at her speeches in the Senate floor. Look at her activities as First Lady, and you see that she's very religiously oriented. She thinks nothing of quoting the words of Jesus to rebuke Republicans on the Senate floor for their immigration policy. So we can't discard the religious underpinning and trying to understand it because it's not our religious underpinning. I think frankly, many of my friends have not understood Barack Obama because they haven't been willing to accept that he does come from a strong religious base. It's just an extremely theological, left-leaning religious base.
Mm-hmm. When you look at his 7 years in office, though, and it appears that he's been to church 4 or 5 times, isn't that kind of upsetting to a lot of Christians?
Well, and that is part of the issue is that his administration doesn't handle faith well. I will say that because there were such scenes of chaos in D.C. churches when he attended church, he chose instead to go to Evergreen Chapel at Camp David. And we know some of the chaplains from there. You know, Commander Cash in the Navy, who's an evangelical, was one of the pastors there. And he would tell people, he goes to church many, many times. He just doesn't want to do it in public because of the chaos that ensues. So he attended church far more than most people think. But the issue is, what does he really believe? And his primary pastor for 20 years was Jeremiah Wright, and that kind of theological liberalism is really, flowing through his blood system and through his thinking.
Yeah, Stephen Mansfield has written a book called Ask the Question, and we need to know how to ask the right questions to get honest answers. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I've got a whole bunch of questions for Stephen, so don't go anywhere. It's 14 minutes after the hour. Be back in a minute. Minutes after the hour, Bill Arnold here. You know, I'm talking to Stephen Mansfield, who's my kind of guy. He's not only a New York Times bestselling author, but he knows all the words to the Oscar Mayer Wiener song. So I feel like I've connected with you on a very deep level.
But well, what does that say about us?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't really know. But you've written a book called Ask the Questions, and it's going to be a must-read for me. And we need to ask the right questions to get honest answers. So when we give candidates like a religious pass, it can really cost the country.
It can, because then they're going to take their religion into office if they get elected. And that religion will be like an advisor standing there at their shoulder, influencing every decision that they make. You know, if I ran for president and I said, I want you to elect me to president, there's a guy over here off stage who's going to influence everything I do, but I'm not going to tell you who he is. Just elect me, and then I'll tell you more about him once I'm in office. I mean, people would just laugh at me. Mm-hmm. But that is what we let the candidates do with religion. They, go to church and carry a Bible, and they make broad statements, God bless America, or I have a faith that defines my life. But this faith will influence them. We need to understand what it is, and not so much invade their prayer closet, but certainly consider their political theology as we consider the rest of their worldview.
Mm-hmm. Whenever a candidate takes a piece of sacred scripture, and in my opinion, everything is sacred, and they diminish it in a way, or they, I remember Barack Obama once saying, we should follow the golden rule versus some obscure passage in Romans.
Exactly.
And I'm going, wait a minute, you just hurt my feelings there. Everything is sacred. So whenever a candidate does something like that, to me, that's a big hair in the guacamole dip at a party. It's like, ooh, I'm done trying that.
Well, and that's part of the issue. I mean, I'll have to say, at least Barack Obama has alluded a little bit to where he gets his very left-leaning theology. Hey, I'm not going to lean to an obscure passage in Romans. I'm going to go with the golden rule. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, at least we know. At least we know. But one of the most disturbing trends of late have been the reversals. You know, for example, Hillary Clinton, it was her husband who signed the Defense of Marriage Act, and Hillary Clinton used to defend that with scripture references and very heatedly. But then recently she said, no, my faith led me to accept a same-sex marriage. It's a faith issue that causes a woman to get abortion and affects my view of abortion. Well, what is she talking about? And when did she change? And where did that come from? These are legitimate questions because it's affecting public policy in America. And so, again, we sort of go, oh, gee, that's their faith. We don't need to invade that area or ask tough questions. But to the extent their faith impacts their politics, we absolutely need to ask the question.
Mm-hmm. When you look at a candidate like Donald Trump, and he has made me smile on occasion where he talks about, I'm a very good Christian. I'm a very good Christian. Well, I feel like if I was a good Christian, that'd be the last thing I could say is I'm a good Christian. I'm a flawed sinner.
Exactly. I mean, it's obvious that whatever virtues there may be to Mr. Trump, he's religiously confused, or perhaps lightweight is the way to say it. You remember the kind of tragic quote where he says, I take my little cracker and my little juice And he's talking about communion, of course. And I pray my little prayers, and I feel cleansed. And then somebody said, well, do you ask forgiveness? He said, no, I've never really felt the need to ask any forgiveness. Well, of course, all of us who are Christians know that that's not really possible to be a Christian and not seek forgiveness. But the important thing I'll have to say in the age in which we live, I mean, you know, as a Christian, I'm aware that we come from a Christian background in American history, but we're very likely to deal with candidates in the future who are not only not Christians, but they've done the faith buffet. They've taken a little bit of Deepak Chopra, mm-hmm. a little bit of Hinduism, a little bit of Joel Osteen, mm-hmm. two scriptures, and some fortune cookie quotes, and they've made it into a religion. So one of the reasons we have to ask the question is that you've got not only non-Christian religions where you have to understand what the implications are, but you have these religious pastiches, these smorgasbords, and they're going to be rather hard for us to follow, but they'll have huge political implications. So Trump may be on the edge of that world. He's a Presbyterian, but he's really incorporated a whole lot of different religious views and theologies into his thinking.
Mm-hmm. When you look at some of the candidates, and I was talking to the board operator this morning about the way Christians are always gravitating towards the candidate that they see being the most biblical. And, well, conservative Christians will do that. And I look at someone like Mike Huckabee, and he seems, for the most part, to be pretty solid biblically, yet he's gaining no ground, it seems. Now, I don't know how he'll fare in Iowa, but he says, if I'm not in the top three, I'm out.
I don't think he's going to make it long term, and Mike's a friend of mine. I'll say that the issue now, something shifted with conservative/evangelical Christians, is that they're not so much insisting that the candidate be a believer, but that they hold their views. That's why Trump's at, 42% now. He's definitely not the strongest, clearest, most learned, deepest Christian on the slate, but he most outspokenly represents the views of a lot of conservative Christians. So they're giving him a pass religiously instead because he's with them on the issues. And that's a shift I think we're going to see continue. I think it's literally possible that a majority of evangelicals one day could vote for an atheist, but an atheist who's conservative on all the major issues that evangelicals care about. And then that's where we're heading in our politics.
Yeah, now I'm not going to hold it against you that you name drop that you know Mike Huckabee.
I know so many famous people, you wouldn't believe it. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah, but it's not polite to name drop. Martin Scorsese told me that. So,
I see. Well, I'll tell you what, Mike Huckabee is such a friendly guy who walks the street shaking hands with a hot dog. It's not hard to know Mike Huckabee.
Yeah. So what else should we be paying attention to as we try to process maybe one other tidbit from your book, Ask the Question, coming out in February, that I can't wait to get my hands on. Give me another tidbit from the book.
I will. We need to step beyond the symbolism and ask the important questions. And I want to say quickly, I think this is important. Our founding fathers intended that we would do this. Some people think because the founding fathers didn't want religious tests for federal office, they wouldn't have a sort of a theological exam before you could be Secretary of State or work in the Treasury Department. They banned that in the Constitution, Article 6. But from their quotes, we can tell that they said, well, but the people will judge the religion of candidates. The people will analyze what the theology is. And so even though the founding fathers did not have religious tests, and we're glad they didn't, otherwise, a certain denomination could control all the seats of power in Georgia, for example, we are expected, and we do have a mandate from our founding fathers to scan our candidates religiously, and that's what needs to happen in this election and fairly urgently.
Yeah, so I am so appreciative of the fact that you have taken the time to once again write the book, Ask the Question, coming out in February. It's going to give us all kinds of information as to how to look at this, how to process it, how to be praying about it. And Stephen Mansfield, I so appreciate your work, and thanks for being on the show this morning.
Hey, great to be with you this morning.
Thanks so much. Have a great day. It's 24 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I'll be back in just a minute.